Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
And a wonderful afternoon to you. Beautiful weather here in upcountry South Carolina. As a matter of fact, as I'm glancing down here as we start our podcast, it is the ideal temperature here in South Carolina. It's 72 degrees Fahrenheit. To my international friends, that's saying that it is very, very nice. This is Brad, and I welcome you to the Questions About Heaven podcast, part of the Heaven Tour Ministry. You can see us on our website, theheaventour.com. theheaventour.com, and find out about our ministry. You can go in there in the Heaven Questions section, type in a phrase or a word that maybe you're wanting to know a little bit more about the biblical teaching about a particular subject of angels or the Father or animals or our incorruption, anything like that. Put those words in, and all of the videos, I think I've loaded about 400 videos on there, will come up pertaining to that. So you can learn. It's like a library of our 1 and 2 minute videos about those subjects. Take your time and study those. And I appreciate the fact that you are encouraging me. You are praying. Thank you so much. If this is your first time coming here to be able to hear one of our podcasts, I welcome you. I do appreciate our ministry. And listen, I'll be going back out on the road after Resurrection Sunday. I'll have one more week here getting ready for circuit number 2. You know, back in the days of the late 1800s, the early 1900s, there were different places in hollers and back roads, churches throughout North America that did not have a regular preacher, and they relied on a circuit rider. And I like that. When I was in my 20s, I did some circuit riding myself to different churches, big and small, and I'm back in that again at the age of 64. I do enjoy it. I love going out and doing that. On April 7th, I will be down in Tremont, Mississippi at Mount Methodist Church. And then in the afternoon, oh, let me see, if I can remember this, I'll look this up because I know that Miss Christie, the organizer, told me where I will be meeting next. Let's take a look. Okay, here it is. In Hamilton, Alabama, in the evening, well, in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Hamilton, Alabama, on April 7th, I will be at a place called The Molly. I believe this is a venue. It's possibly a restaurant. We'll be meeting there. It's on 141 First Street in Hamilton, Alabama, at 2 o'clock. And then we'll let you know some more about Mount Methodist Church in Tremont. The next week, we will be meeting. We are actually renting a place. Our ministry is renting a place for the day. It's at the Holiday Inn Express, the business meeting room there. And I want to invite you, if you RSVP, you're going to receive a gift from us, the Heaven Tour, something that my brother Brent at Zockel Pottery has made. And if you are able to join us and then RSVP so we know how much food to prepare, there's no cost. There's obviously no cost. It's on Sunday, April 14th. We will have 2 sessions, 10 in the morning, and then at 3 in the afternoon, a Q&A session there, Holiday Inn Express business meeting room there in Mount Airy. Then the last Sunday in the month of April, that would be on the weekend, really. I'll be in there flying in Grand Junction, Colorado. We'll be having our meeting, and we'll have 2 separate sections, and I'll let you know the venue there. I'll be flying in to Grand Junction, Colorado. Our organizer, Miss Amy, has been getting everything ready for me to meet both with college and career age as well as the adults over the course of the weekend, a couple of different meeting times. And so thank you so much for your diligence and your prayer, your support. Our car fund for our transportation has been growing. I don't have the exact number right now. The last time I checked on our car fund, which has been handled by a fellow ministry called Acorn Global Outreach. You can see them at acornglobal.org, and they are handling that part for us to raise money for a new low-mileage car for me. Not a new one, but another car, the one with much more low mileage. We're at 243, almost 244,000 on the Honda CR-V, and it indeed is running very rough. We'll be taking it in to see what we can do with it, but the board of our ministry is saying, you ought to be looking for another car. We've raised $5,000. The last time I remember, it's $5,904. And so thank you so much. We're here in Revelation chapter 20. And as we are going through the scriptures here, we are finding a most powerful, powerful passage here in talking about what is known as the millennial kingdom. So let's study that. Let's read it first. I'll start reading in Revelation chapter 20. The translation I'll use on this term, as you know, that I will constantly rotate the translations of good, reliable translations from the original language. This is the ESV. I'm starting in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. This is John writing, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer, until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That takes you through verse 4, and we'll go as far as we can in this time in talking about this most important passage here, which sometimes people will call the millennial chapter, the millennial kingdom. And so as we go through this, let's take a look and see what we can find out about this 1,000-year reign. We see this mentioned in Isaiah chapter 65, Isaiah chapter 66. When we go through this passage, we see just some very, very in-depth things which take time. That's why I only went through two verses the last time whenever I was teaching you in our previous podcast here. When we see this, we see that this angel is empowered by the Lord to be able to imprison Satan for 1,000 years. I find it most fascinating. He is an unnamed angel. There's no ceremony to this, that there's going to be some grand adventure. It's just that the angel takes him and imprisons him. He takes him here, and I like this because I think about this. Satan had his time in which he foolishly thought he could imprison Jesus, put him in that rich man's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, have the stone rolled over, have the Roman guard, and that would take care of Jesus. Well, that didn't happen. As a matter of fact, right now, as I'm talking to you, March 27th, we're coming up on, during the course of this week, known as the Passion Week or the Holy Week, we're looking at Resurrection Sunday, this Sunday. We celebrate this. Jesus could not be held down. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. We see that. This is wonderful when we see this here. This is not a problem with God. We are not in a dualistic universe where, as in a Star Wars type of a presentation, that it's half Satan and half God and they battle and who can tip over one way or the other. No, this is no problem here. Satan has him taken down. He is being held for this purpose of the 1,000 years on earth. And during this time, Jesus will reign as king on earth on here. We take a look and we see that he is taken down and kept from deceiving the nations anymore. When we see this, we're reminded once again, as we saw in Revelation chapter 6, we saw that Satan was the false Messiah, presenting himself through the false Messiah. The white horse, that one wearing a Stephanos and urn crown, you saw deceit, in which it told us in that passage that he would take peace from the earth. He would not give war, he would take peace. Deception is all over here. And we know this when we see so many times. We see John 8:44. Satan is the father of lies. He's going to deceive in any way possible here. And when he does this, he is going to be restrained in this as he does his open work of rebellion. Revelation chapter 13, he went after God, God's people, God's throne. But he's being held here. Now, when this happens, we have something called the millennium. When we take a look at this, we see that this is going to be the reign of Christ on earth. And this is an earthly reign of Christ. When he comes down in the battle of Revelation 19, this is a part of the history of humanity here. And when we see this here, we're seeing that the beauty of Exodus chapter 40 through 47, the rivers flowing from the throne, turning the desert into an oasis, and wonderful, wonderful reality of Jesus being on the earth here. And when we see this, this is going to be indeed a time where people will still, there will still be sin, but the environment will be lush, rich. Isaiah chapter 11 tells us animals will be in this kingdom and they will be at peace. They will not be carnivorous, attacking, or shying away from man or each other. And that will be there. Now, there are going to be a number of people left on this earth. When Jesus returns, those ones, as we see, that have been through the Great Tribulation, during this time, you can read about this in Matthew chapter 25. It tells us this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, the goats on the left, and the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Remember that? We talked about that before, Matthew chapter 25. Now, when we say this, we take this, the entrance into the millennial kingdom of Jesus. Those ones that were in rebellious, they're sent away, and there will be a judging later on in this chapter of this. But the millennial kingdom, this is going to go, as it says, till the 1,000 years were finished, then this is going to be the time that Satan is going to be restrained here, held back during this time. Now, when we see this, this is we can see in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it gives us a hint about this. What is the joy of this millennial kingdom on earth, the physical earth? The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, Isaiah chapter 2. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and he shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, shall decide disputes for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. That's a precursor to the illumination of the New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 21. Isaiah chapter 2 tells us about this, what is going. The wars will be over, as it says. They will beat their spears into pruning hooks, into plowshares will be the weaponry there too. And then we also see this. When we look and we find that the child will be able to be with once a dangerous animal and will be at peace with it. When we read about that in Isaiah chapter 11, you can look at that for yourself in verses 6 through 9 here. This is just powerful. You also will see Amos chapter 9, verses 11 through 15 tell us, in that day I will raise up the booth of David that has fallen and repair its breaches, raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. And all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. It's saying the harvest will come up so fast, it's almost like those reaping will click on the heels of those who are sowing. That's what it's talking about. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them, says Yahweh your God. Listen to all these promises in the prophecies here. Wonderful. The devotion to God, the worship of the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Isn't that something else when we see this? All of these things we keep seeing through the prophetic proclamations of what is going to happen. The 1,000 years. And there's no reason to believe that this is going to be spiritualized. This is going to be a literal 1,000 years. Jesus is going to be there, and in his eternal, ageless state, he will be reigning for the 1,000 years on this. But this is also to remind us that there are still going to be those who sin. The Bible tells us in 1 John and 2 that the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life will be the downfall of many. And you notice it doesn't say anything about Satan there. He's restrained. Sin will still be there in the millennial kingdom as we take a look at this here. When we go through this passage, we are also looking at the saints, which are you and me. It just means the Christians. We're not talking about canonization or anything like that. Saints will reign for 1,000 years. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead or on their hands. That's that mark of the beast we read about in Revelation chapter 13. And they lived and reigned with Christ. They reigned with Christ. In the new earth, we will reign with Christ, Revelation 22 and verse 5. We will be with Christ on his throne, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. Here's a precursor to that right here. These thrones. When we see these thrones, plural, beside the throne of God, we can see this. It may be, when we take a look at this, this might be referring to the 24 elders. We go back to Revelation 4, and we saw that. We saw the elders, the 24 elders around the throne. Now, this could also be, though, I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 19, at the restoration of all things, Jesus says. And I'll quote this, verse 28. Jesus says to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man," and that's a designation for the Messiah, as we've talked about in Daniel chapter 7 through 9, the Son of Man is a name for the Messiah, Jesus, "when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Could it be that? Possibly so. We can see that as well. And they were given judgment. Whatever this would be, the judgment here, the authorities being given to those who are on the throne, this would talk about, when we go to Luke chapter 19, we see that those that have been faithful to the Lord are given responsibilities over municipalities, over cities. Remember this? You've been faithful over 10 talents, 10 minas. You will have rule over 10 cities. Now, could this be that these apostles are overseeing the leadership of these many cities by Christians who have been faithful? It could be. It could be. We see there's a description here. These ones who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, but they didn't worship the beast or his image, not receive the mark. When we see this, we are reminded back, "Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life," Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And when we talk about this, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. "Do you not know that saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases?" Paul is upset because there are people within that church. They're falling apart. They're suing each other. And Paul says, "Get a grip. Don't you realize the eternality judgment that will be held in eternity?" God, Isaiah 57:15, who inhabits eternity, is opening up the wonders and the grace of responsible leadership. You're going to judge the world. Why can you not even judge between each other here? "Do you not know that we are to judge angels?" Could this actually be that angels will be judged in this passage here? It could be. How much more than matters pertaining to this life, Paul says. There is judgment going on in the millennial kingdom too. And when we take a look at this word here, the word beheaded, let's take a look at this. When we go here, this is a very striking term. And let me go down here and take a look as I'm going through here. When it says that they had been beheaded for the testimony of Christ, let's go to the Greek and take a look at this word. When we see this, because this is a very striking term here, and when we see this, this is pelekidzo, is the Greek word. And it comes from the word plaso, meaning an axe. And so this execution is talking about one who is literally going to be the recipient of a judgment by axe. Could this mean this is literal? It very well could be. It very well could be. We have seen over in the Middle East, we've seen those Christians who have been put upon their knees and were literally beheaded for their faith. I'm thinking of the one picture of the Egyptian Christians who were beheaded at the beach. Could this happen here? And we grieve and we pray for those martyrs for the faith. Would this happen here? Well, it seems to show that as well. They've been beheaded for the faith in a very specific way in this. And when they did, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. We see the joy of the ultimate victory just in this weekend. Christ is taken, humiliated, put on the cross. The prophecy of Psalm 22. His hands and feet were pierced. They gambled for his clothes. People mocked him. He was dying of dehydration. All of this, but we don't key off on Friday. We key off on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Remember, that's why we called it Good Friday, because Jesus went willingly to the cross to pay for our sins. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12 tells us he was the sacrifice to sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 10 tell us that as well. This one sacrifice, and he was victorious, and he is victorious, and we can rejoice in that. Well, I see I'm over time here. There's so much more to say, but we're getting into the wonder of the millennial kingdom. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is Brad, and as we all gather around Revelation chapter 20, we're going to learn some new and important things on what the Lord is doing in the end times, which has a fancy name, eschatology, the study of the end times. And we're understanding that and learning more and more each day through this. Thank you. God bless you. And Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.